to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, April 28th, 2019, by Rhonda Johnson.
Watched a movie that is currently a box office hit right now, worldwide actually, and I related to that story on a very personal level, and it captivated me spiritually and emotionally. It is a true story about a young boy's very complicated relationship with his abusive father. Out of that complicated mix of pain and faith is a story of resurrection and new life of this young boy. Grieving the death of his father, he uses his imagination to compose the best-selling song. The song describes what his deceased father, a new Christian, might experience when he sees Jesus. So I invite you to engage your imagination for just a minute. And imagine what it might be like when seeing the risen Jesus. So I'm going to recite these spiritually inspired words of this song and movie by the same name, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe, will you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Imagine the scene in today's gospel as all the disciples, except Thomas, hover behind locked doors in fear of being executed by the Jews. Suddenly, Jesus appears and shows his wounds. And how do they respond? The Gospel of John simply says, they rejoiced. I can only imagine in their rejoicing that they were dancing, falling on their knees, and singing hallelujah as they worshiped the risen Jesus. The disciples' messy mix of fear and doubt melt like butter as Jesus commissions them, blesses them with peace and forgives their sins and breathes the Holy Spirit on them. The disciples, in their renewed belief and joy, run to tell the missing Thomas that Jesus has risen. I can imagine that Thomas dampened their good news when he says, unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and my finger in his side, I will not believe. Thomas joins the disciples a week later and offers Thomas an opportunity to touch his wounds and then says to Thomas, do not doubt, but believe. And Thomas proclaims, my Lord and my God. And Jesus responds with this question, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We are the blessed community of whom Jesus speaks, as we have not seen and yet have come to believe. None of us has seen the risen Jesus. We base our faith on the firsthand witness of Jesus' disciples and the faith of the community of the saints that have gone before us. What we know is that the disciples' unquestioned belief in the resurrection of Jesus transformed forever the lives and the lives of people around the world. They all responded to Jesus' commissioning, giving them the most extraordinary task imaginable, calling the entire world, including the Roman Empire, to repent and to faith in the risen Christ. Many disciples are known to have died as martyrs, including Thomas, who preached in India. Famously known as Doubting Thomas, is also called the twin. Some view Thomas as kind of the devil's advocate, but I admire his pattern of asking bold, honest questions, questions that others may think, but they do not voice. His pattern of dogged pursuit of seeking answers to his many questions led him to a deeper faith when he makes the boldest proclamation of faith in the entire Bible to the risen Jesus, my Lord and my God. Thomas teaches you it is not a sin to have doubts, because your doubts can lead to honest questions, and your questions can lead to answers, and those answers can lead to a deepening of your faith. But there's something very curious. For some reason, Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus first appeared. So why is that? I can only imagine that he chose to grieve the loss of his anticipated Messiah alone, rather than in community with the other disciples. It is important to note that he came to believe again after rejoicing with the other disciples who had already believed. Sometimes I feel like the twin sister of Thomas, because I too tend to isolate as he did when I suffer grief and loss and doubts about my faith. But unlike Thomas, I have not always had the courage to express my doubts in community with others because I felt unsafe. At one point, I stretched myself by asking questions regarding some teachings about my faith tradition and was immediately accused of heresy. As a result of that punishing response, I left the church, wandering around in the desert of my mind in my doubts for years, never growing and maturing spiritually in my faith. During a pivotal crisis of faith due to several losses at the same time, I fell into my old pattern of isolation. I soon realized that I was losing my faith. I realized that relying on my willpower alone was not working. That innate spiritual yearning to know and experience that which is greater than myself, present in my DNA from birth, drove me running to the church. Fortunately, I was greeted warmly. The minister eventually suggested that I seek further growth opportunities at Ecumenical Theological Seminary in Detroit, and I did. I also engaged a spiritual director that still companions me. The seminary was a safe place where I could explore my doubts, ask bold questions, and seek answers. In this place, I found peace at long last, when my image of a fearful God was replaced with an image of a God of love. The new image of God as of love turned my world view upside down as I suddenly imagined life and its meaning in a transformative new way. I felt a second birth, a resurrection experience. I finally began to believe again as I felt the healing waters of God's love flow through my veins. I also realized that faith is a messy mix of doubt and awe that lasts a lifetime. Some questions will never be answered on this side of heaven, and I am at peace with that truth. If you experience a messy mix of faith and doubt, you are in very good company. Just ask some of these prominent Christian thinkers who have wrestled with doubt, that include Mother Teresa, C.S. Lewis, Martin Luther, and Pope Francis. Pope Francis says the following about doubts. Who among us, everybody, who among us has not experienced insecurity, loss, and even doubts on their journey of faith? We have all experienced this. Me too. It's part of our lives. And he goes on to say, this should not be surprising because we are all human beings marked by fragility and limitations. We're all weak. We all have limits. Do not panic. We all have them. Doubt is an essential part of faith. Do you tend to isolate, or do you reach out to community or others for support and answers to your doubts and during your painful losses? My internship at St. Philip's reminds me that no one ever achieves wholeness simply by themselves, but rather only together with others. This messy mix of faith and doubt is a lonely experience, one not to be traveled alone. Do you also feel as I do at times, like the twin sister or brother of doubting Thomas, a need to ask bold questions? If you do, remember Thomas and his courageous example. Ask your questions and seek your answers and let go and let God enliven and strengthen you in the messy mix of faith and doubt, as well as the faith of the whole community. And in the meantime, you can only imagine what it will be like when you first see the risen Jesus. Amen.